Welcome back to Anime FMK MHA edition, or BNHA if you're the worst.
Nope. I don't talk to them. if you're a BNHA person, you can go ahead and turn this off, or at least not listen to anything I have to say, because I'm talking over your head.
Look, I don't judge you for saying BNHA.
I do. Just want to lay that one out there.
Dropping, spitting hot fire.
Unless you live in Japan, hail from Japan, that's the only time when I will eschew.
Now I'm just imagining some Japanese folks who absolutely have
if you
to
are
say
if you are of Japanese descent but live in America, My Hero Academia. Sorry, I don't make the rules.
I mean, if you're speaking English, if you are, you know, speaking Japanese with other Japanese speakers,
no, it is all geographical. your language barrier matters not. If you are across that pond, it is My Hero.
Well, now that we've lost, I'm gonna say conservatively 2-3% of our viewers.
Damn.
Hey, I'm just saying 1/3 of this table isn't talking. I play. Say titles however you like.
And I will just be over here silently judging you.
Yeah.
Guys,
you don't seem silent about it. That's all I'm saying. You seem pretty loud about it.
Well, look, my bar is Taka, so compared to him, I'm pretty silent.
Oh, wow, yeah. He is so loud about it.
And it is great. I love it.
I was going to say, I so rarely make jokes about it, but I felt called.
At Takahata101 on Twitter, you can get ill-formed political opinions, cringy selfies, and shitting all over people who say Boku no Hero Academia all in one place. It's wonderful. Go give them a follow.
So convenient.
Wait, I have all three of those things, too. Oh, no.
Oh, no. Yeah, but his ratio of BNHA shitting is higher. So
also, all of my selfies are as intentionally cringeworthy as I can make them, because I have made a promise to myself that if I ever turn on my camera and I accidentally still have it in selfie mode, I have
just
to take the I have to take the ugliest selfie that I can. Somebody asked me, like, do you have to make your selfies ugly? And I'm like, yes, because I would never do a selfie otherwise. Like, I maybe do 3 selfies a year intentionally. All the other ones are like, well, guess I have to do this now.
I mean, I think the last time I took a selfie was when I was jokingly, I was doing a Nuzlocke in which every time a party member died, I had to smell my dog. And so I would selfie myself smelling my dog.
A smelfie?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh. That's, read the synopsis.
It was, it was because Ash's rival or Red's rival in the first Pokemon.
Smell you later.
Yeah, I was saying I like Nuzlocke because they give you steaks. The first game gave me steaks. I did not want to smell this person later, now, or anytime. So for the purposes of this Nuzlocke, my rival will be represented by my dog.
I will smell
her. It was all thought
now out.
It was very...
There was a lore to it.
Yeah, deep lore. I was not streaming this Nuzlocke because this was Moon or Sun, whichever I had.
Oh, the 3DS.
And I did not have an easy way to stream it. So this was purely for my own dumbass edification.
He held himself accountable.
Yeah. So let's talk about a stream that we're doing right now, which is not nearly as interesting as the one that was never a stream.
Yes, go on.
In episode 56 of My Hero Academia, Bakugo gets meatballed, but Zappy Boy gets a big silly hero speech and saves him. Tape Boy and Gravity Girl do a big silly combo attack and tape up a bunch of randos. Naval Laser tries to draw aggro for Ida, but all the third stringers show up and kick a bunch of ass, and long story short, all the UA students pass the first round.
They packed a lot in this episode. I remember reading through this part and thinking, like, you know, lots happening, lots going on, and this episode was like, yep, gonna put all of this in there. It's kind of crazy.
I was sort of surprised that meatball guy was so built up, and he kind of went down pretty quick.
That makes me feel like he will be coming back later, I'm assuming.
I would think so.
Because I feel like they spend a lot of time going, like, here's what his power does and how it works, and here's how they tricked him. And he shows up a lot in the opening, and he's, like, one of the few members of this school that we've seen, so he's probably going to be a main player somewhere along the lines.
Also, here's my awkward, vaguely phrased philosophy about life and friendship and shit. It's still a show.
What it means to be a hero.
Yep.
I do like his meatball dude's motivation, though. He's like, I respect your school, and you're making a fucking, like, sham of it, so I'm going to take all of you guys out so I can, you know, cut the riffraff. And, like, I do like the fact that Bakugo actually works with his team for once. He actually goes out of his way to do the right thing. It's sort of nuts.
Yeah.
Also, I like the idea that he's got these little grenades he can use now. What a cool concept.
Yeah, I mean, it makes perfect sense. If he sweats nitro, then
might as well store some of that for later. And I also like that Kaminari got to actually do something, because I feel like he has been very consistent through the show of just like, I'm going to put out a lot of electricity, and that makes me be stupid for the next, like, however long. Mm-hmm. So I get to do one big flash, and I have to yell at everybody to get down or something. And then I'm out of the fight. Now he's like, I actually have tools and ways to do stuff. And that's
yeah, I was looking at that thing on his wrist like, what the fuck is that? So yeah, when he fires off the discs, I'm like,
that's his dual disc system. It enhances the
the moment I saw that, I'm like, is this fucking Yugi? What is he gonna do? So yeah, when he fires off those discs, and I, at first I was like, there's got to be more to it than that. What discs? How does that play into his power? And yeah, cool. Little conductors. That's
Makes inductors? Sense.
I can't remember.
Something along that. Yeah. It's just like basically they're like, you'll make a line of electricity from you to the thing you shot. And so it's just make sure you get your enemies between you and your little points.
Yeah. It is kind of nice to have an explanation for more in-depth than, I don't know, you can just kind of control it. Like, yeah. Where
now you can aim your
go?
Electricity because you tried.
Yeah. Because, yeah, if you think about it, you know, any, like, lightning bolt power that you see in fiction, like, that's not how lightning works. It yeah, it goes, yeah.
Yeah, controlling lightning.
It's a current.
Whenever I see, like, Storm come in X-Men, and she's like, thunder and lightning on this motherfucker, and it's like...
That would spread.
I mean, Storm's powers are... If you want to get down to the nitty-gritty of how does that actually work, like... weather is a very complicated system that...
Okay, let's talk about Pikachu then.
Let's talk about Pikachu.
He's a Pokemon.
He is a Pokemon.
So after Kaminari's cool speech and he zaps everyone, or rather, exactly one person, which is the change, because the guy makes the special point of like, hey, I saved you for last because you zap all your friends, and I just want to let you know that anything these guys feel, and then he steps on Kaminari, Kirishima, like they totally feel it, yep. So don't electrocute them. They'll know.
By the way, that meatball ability is easily one of the freakiest things in this entire
show. Yeah, that's
a
weird one.
Yeah, it's creepy looking. It's disturbing to think about. Every time I see it, I'm like, that's a villain power right there. That is that is a great villain power. And it's always cool to see heroes with powers that are more like when we had the guy who can control people by asking them a question. Mm-hmm. It's like that'd be a great villain power. So I love seeing heroes with traditionally villain powers. And here, yeah. Oh, meatballs. Why would you do that?
Something real awesome is that the mangaka for a long time now has had a plushie of Meatball Bakugo.
Or Meat Bakugo, as we call it.
Now available at IKEA.
So yeah, those guys pass. They meet up with Icy Hot and Froppy's group and chat for a hot second. And yeah, I could sort of, for as much as I wasn't expecting Meatball Guy to go down in like the first act of a 22-minute episode, mm-hmm. I sort of was expecting Deku and Tape Boy and Gravity Girls group to go down as quickly as they did, because they spent no time like building up their opposition, just like, oh, they're outnumbered by a million guys. Yeah, and those million guys are going to go down.
Yeah, when your threat is a crowd, normally that means someone's going to come up with a plan that defuses it.
Yeah.
I'm sort of sad because that scene where there are all those guys laying on the ground, they're like, "You're first years. We've got to pass this." And Deku just leans down, boop. So do I. And I'm like, that scene like is effective here in the manga. It's even more like the look in his eyes is like this is a battle, motherfucker. I'm doing this.
Yeah.
But I love that scene. I just generally love that scene where Deku's like, I'm not going to give you an inch. I came here to win. I came here to be the best I can. If I beat you, then I beat you. Maybe you don't deserve this. And it's kind of crazy just to see. Like, I like the subtle developments that we get through the characters. Like, Bakugo is playing, like, actually playing with others. Deku is not holding back because of his emotions and putting plans together. He's taking charge and doing awesome things, and it's really cool to see. Also, I had trouble understanding what happened in the manga with the rocks and the tape, and the anime finally made that make more sense.
Yeah, as I'm thinking about it now after the fact, it didn't trip me up at the time, but as I'm thinking about it, like, could he not have just, like, sent out tape in a bunch of directions? Were the rocks necessary? What did those really add to it?
They weighted it down.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. He can, like, web swing with his tape. It seems like he has pretty fine control over where it goes and what it does.
Or something.
Oh, yeah, but again, the idea was that we have to trap them all under the tape. With the rocks, it brings it right down on them because it's hard for him to, like, he could probably hit them with the tape, but pinning them? How does he do that?
Yeah, maybe. You could be right.
It was a weird plan, and I kind of feel like, would that work, actually? Yeah. It's hard to tell.
And it's one of those things where we only see it when the show decides to show it to us, but thinking about it after the fact, like, did people not notice all those floating rocks with tape attached to them? Just kind of up there?
Yeah.
Yeah, man, you're on that field, you're distracted, you got to worry about, hey, this guy could vibrate this whole building apart. Those floating rocks, I'm sure those are something to think about for another time.
Yep. Meanwhile, speaking of Bakugo, seems like he's sort of figured out that Deku's got one for all.
Yeah, I actually really liked that. It wasn't even so much that he figured out that he had one for all, but just the kind of the begrudging, like, oh, you passed? Well, it figures you're really strong.
Yeah.
Yeah, Deku's response to that is very good.
Like, just like Bakugo being like, hey, you know what? I might be an asshole, but I'm also not an idiot. I recognize that you're also clearly a cut above the rest here. And it's high time I stop just only talking down and go like, yeah, if we're in mixed company, I know you're better than a lot of them.
Yeah. Well, but he does say something like, yeah, you've really made that borrowed power your own. And speaking of not being an idiot, like, might not have figured out the exact mechanics, but, this kid who never had a quirk all of a sudden has a quirk. That's a lot like All Might's quirk.
Yeah.
All Might just lost his quirk. That's weird.
Yeah. It's good to see when a character, especially, it makes sense that Bakugo would be the one to figure it out, too, considering his proximity to both All Might and Deku during those events.
Yeah, and also, yeah, he has definitely noticed, like, yeah, there is a special relationship between All Might and Deku, and it doesn't seem like they're fucking, so what else could it be?
It is sort of interesting.
That he doesn't go straight to, maybe they're fucking? Yeah, that is, I don't know, it seems like a blind spot.
I guess the only reason that Bakugo would know at all is because he knows that this is not Deku's power. Mm-hmm. Everybody else probably wouldn't be able to put it together otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because they didn't know him before.
Yeah.
That's true, too. I mean, I suppose if anybody cared enough to look into it, there's probably a public record, since that's a big deal. You've got to have your powers registered and licensed.
The crazy thing is, I think only two characters know at all, besides Toshinori. And I think it's Recovery Girl knows, I think.
I know Recovery Girl knows. Yes.
And I can't remember, he mentions that he told two other people, and Gran Torino.
I was going to say Gran Torino.
But I mean at the school.
Right.
And is it the principal? Does the principal
know? I think the principal knows.
I thought most of the staff knew.
No. Toshinori himself says that he's only told, like, a select couple people. Everybody else just thinks that...
I don't think Eraser knows.
Eraser doesn't know. And that's something that doesn't get brought up very often. Eraser doesn't know that Deku has All Might's power, All Might's quirk. That's.
I'm honestly, this is kind of backtracking a bit, but in the episode where they were going door to door to everyone, I'm really surprised All Might didn't break it down for Deku's mom.
I think she put it together.
Like, I think she kind of did, but I'm surprised it wasn't just like a, hey, you know what, as a responsible adult here, I'm going to go ahead and tell you what your son's going through. You know, for obvious reasons, it needs to be kept a secret, but you're his mom. You should probably know.
Although that would probably make her even angrier when she found that out.
Probably, but it's one of those things where the longer you wait to tell them, the worse it
gets. Tearing off that Band-Aid hurts more and more with time.
Like, it's one of those things that, in retrospect, probably should have been told to the legal guardian of this minor from jump, but hey, what are you going to do?
By the way, I'm trying to find the post explaining it, but apparently Kirishima, I can't remember his name, lightning guy?
Oh,
the way
Kaminari.
He points means something.
Oh, yeah, that is a reference to something, and I cannot remember what it is.
It's like the flow of electricity or some shit?
Yeah, yeah. The God, what do you call it? Yeah, the little
they
hand
call his
sign.
Wrist thing a pointer and a shooter. And it's like,
no, I mean the specific way he's pointing with his finger like this.
Oh, like his pose.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a reference to something electrical, and I cannot remember what. It's cool though. Like,
hey,
that's
Chad,
neat.
Help us out.
Yeah. Kohei does that a lot. He sneaks in small things that just kind of look cool, but if you look into them or go to his author's notes, he has a billion things where he's like, yeah, I've got this from that, pulled this from this, and it's sort of neat.
And it's only Star Wars, like, 30% of the time.
And then 60% of the time, it's Naruto.
Apparently, it's either the right-hand rule or left-hand rule. I don't know. I'll look it up.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we haven't even talked about
Ida.
Ida. And
Belly Laser Kid.
Yeah.
Aoyama.
Man, you're learning names today.
Dropping knowledge.
Damn.
I think at this point I know if I'm pressed, I know most of the class. I can't remember Acid Girl and Sugar Guy and Tail Dude. I think that's it.
Yeah.
Which, speaking of which, are in this group of third stringers that all pass at once as sort of an afterthought.
Yeah. At first I was and this is totally the direction that, you know, the story wants you to think. But I was like, okay, so here's what it's going to be. Aoyama's totally going to sacrifice himself for Ida, but this is how it's going to go. I feel like the joke with Naval Laser Kid is that he has a more interesting background than we'll ever be told, because I feel like we get little flashbacks in this episode where he's like, but I want to do something. Why am I different, Mom and Dad? What do I? And like, we have like this shot of him like opening a Christmas gift or something that looks like it's like his belt or whatever that he uses for his laser. And he's just like, no, I have to sparkle. I have to do my thing. It feels like there's like this background to it that it's like, no one cares enough about you to ever ask. So it's just going to be like, oh, cool. You jumped some mental hurdle today by, you know, doing something noble, I guess. But then it worked out for you. So no one's going to notice that lesson. Because I think the last like line, it's him going, guess my spark, I'll have to keep going. And he's just like, I guess.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Very heroically.
Also heroically, but kind of dumbly, because Ida's standing right there. If this is supposed to distract people from Ida, who is a foot and a half from you, maybe not the best plan.
Oh, really? No, this is after they win. Like that scene happens after they've already.
Right, but it's just, yeah, his whole plan is pretty silly.
Seems a little iffy. He's really taking it into account, like, you're really fast.
Yeah.
So if I do this, maybe you will be just instantly away from me if you just drop me, because that's the only reason I'm able to keep up.
Actually, no, he does have a point, because Ida showed very early on that he's too fast to hit. He has to be pinned down, but the slower he goes because of Aoyama, it makes sense. If Aoyama's drawing all the attention, yeah, he can get away. But the longer that he's got Aoyama behind him and tagging along, he can't be as fast as he wants to, needs to.
So. And it's one of those things where the character's kind of a goof, and I had one friend on Facebook in particular who was like, I'm kind of mad Aoyama passed that test. But I'm just like, I can get that, but I do think it was a very, like, kind of sweet moment of just him being like, well, all I'm doing is dragging you down, so I'm going to do my best to help in this last second. And then, like, he does the beacon thing. Ida's like, you've doomed us both. What are you doing? And then the group swoops in to help. And I think Acid Girl or someone just goes like, yeah, we were all split up. We were all going to lose. Like, we were, every one of us was ready to give up. But we saw your laser and knew who you were. And we're like, well, we can use that as a meeting point. And it's only because of you that the rest of us pass. I'm like, that's actually a really cute turn just for this character who never gets to do anything.
With all the powers and abilities of a flare gun.
Yeah, exactly. You really didn't pass on your own merit hardly at all, but because of what you did, turned the gears for the rest of us, it mattered in that way. And I'm like, I guess that's fair. That's a lesson we can teach in this story of superhumans and god people, that even you with your worthless power managed to turn the tide.
Well, and you know, I think that's a message that easily translates to,
yeah,
you know, say normal life. A lot of people aren't very good at physical activity. They're not very good at many things. But what they can do is bring people together. They can be a very specific cog that makes everything else work. And I think that's good for Aoyama. Yeah.
Have they ever really fully established what his laser does? Like,
makes his tummy hurt if he does it too much.
Like, is it like a Cyclops blast where it's concussive force and it knocks people away?
It doesn't seem to have any heat or anything. Yeah. It does just seem to be a push.
Yeah, it seems concussive because it...
Yeah, he uses it to push him along a lot.
Yeah. And it doesn't seem to leave any burn holes when it hits stuff. And he penetrates that rock in a hilarious and not so subtle manner. I do kind of love that. I love the way that he talks. I love his actor. He always seems like he's this close to orgasm, and it's hilarious.
That is something that you don't really think about. Like Cyclops, it's supposed to be a concussive blast, but he never pushes himself back. Aoyama does. Yeah,
it's always an opening.
I mean, what's a Kamehameha? We've always seen it act completely differently every time it's fucking used.
Sometimes it disintegrates. Sometimes it just pushes. Sometimes there's fire involved.
Well, the entire idea with the Kamehameha is that it's internal energy. It is wholly concussive, and it does push Goku back plenty of times.
Yeah.
And the idea that it disintegrates anything is that anything less powerful than it gets destroyed.
Yeah. I mean, we see it, like, push somebody into the sun or blow a hole through somebody, but it's...
Well, yeah, and with him pushing him into the sun, that's because he was strong enough to take it, but not strong enough to push back against it, so into the sun he goes.
Now, which would win, a Kamehameha or a tummy blast?
Or the belly blast?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I mean, are we talking, like, first time he does it, blows up a car, Kamehameha, or...
Aoyama blow up a car with his belly?
I bet he could blow up a car. That?
I do love the fact that Goku's first Kamehameha is just, boom. It doesn't even blow the car up, just damages it enough that it takes off the wheel.
Totals it.
But
can we imagine what Naval Laser Guy would have been like if he got all for one? just giant that laser beam out of his belly.
He seems to need that apparatus to shoot it, though, because I think during like the tournament or whatever, Acid Girl like covers it in something, and now he can't shoot his laser or whatever for the rest of that fight. So
yeah, I wonder what it's like.
Whatever that stomach thing is, it's important. Belt
does make me wonder what else he could do with that, though. Like, what could Gadget Girl have come up for him? Like some sort of a brace so that he could shoot without pushing himself back. Like a pop-out hang glider so he could blow himself way up into the air and then go where he needs to go.
I'm waiting for the inevitable My Hero time skip where Aoyama finds out that, like, oh, it's not just my belly button. It's literally any pore can shoot this laser beam. I just have to, you know, widen it enough to make it do it. So he starts getting, like, maybe some, like, rashes or splotchy-looking skin, but he starts being able to shoot lasers, like, omnidirectionally. I'd be into that.
Ooh.
Make him a damn disco ball.
Yeah. Just all over the place. Or he like really focuses the pores on the ends of his fingers.
So I wonder if he has an innie or an outie, or if his power would be different if he had the opposite.
When he was bored.
Yeah, no, if it was an innie, it would suck in.
Oh, dude, that's terrifying.
When he was born, did his umbilical cord just like a laser hose?
Oh my gosh.
The doctor's like trying to tie it off.
On the post credit.
Everybody passes. They all meet up and everyone's happy.
But in the post credit, the city that's been built up for them is destroyed. And now, well, I don't know if they actually said what the next test is.
They said it's rescuing.
Yeah. The next one is rescue.
Yeah, which makes me wonder, are all of the prospective licensees that are still there, all the people who didn't pass the test, are they the ones who are going to need rescued? Or how is that going to work? I'm curious.
I'm not sure. They make it seem like it's just regular people who are going to be needed rescued. What I'm curious about is it going to be like a race? Like, whoever rescues the fastest gets the point for it, and is that where the conflict is going to come in? Because I'm like... people have talked up, let's say, this arc, and right now I'm in a very confused, like, well, how is this going to get more interesting? Because, like, I feel like the rescue stuff has been where a lot of the times the show has been like, we say it's rescue, but it's going to turn into a fight.
Yeah.
And now I need to know where does the fight side of this come from? And Scott, you're smiling real big, so I'm sure it's coming, and I trust
There's so much. It's kind of weird that they felt the need to pad at all, because what's about to happen is big. It's a lot of stuff is about to happen. Mm-hmm. The second test is crazier than the first.
Yeah, and I'm sure it is, and like it's one of those things where it's like I have absolute faith that it's going to happen, but as a person who's just like, you know, watching along for the ride right now, I am in a very, well, what are they going to do next that's going to make this part cool?
Well, I will say this as a little bit of an allusion. What character has shown up in that opening that has not shown up yet?
Man. We very, very briefly see the villains, like for like a second. That's the only person I'm thinking of. And a character that I feel like people were saying wasn't in the manga.
Obviously, that JoJo looking motherfucker has to do something.
Yeah. Yeah. Mr. Wind Guy has to be a big deal here.
Yeah. I'm gonna make my prediction.
Okay.
The people who are still in the stadium and everybody who got eliminated, they are now playing the part of the villain that civilians are going to need to be rescued from. And this is their chance
to redeem themselves.
To come back. So right now we've got the 100 ostensibly strongest people all pulled out here. They will be
against the some thousand villains they beat.
Yeah, they will be vastly outnumbered. But yeah, if the villains somehow, if they distinguish themselves in some way, there's going to be some mechanic for them to come back and still pass after all. That's what I'm going to call out.
I like that. Yeah, I guess for me, what my prediction was going to be is along those lines, it's less of a redemption and more of a whoever rescues this person is like considered the hero. And it is anyone else who also encounters this situation's job to be the one who rescues them. So until their rescue is assured, you are a villain. So it's just like, all right, Deku found this person. He's clearly trying to dig them out. I'm Wind Guy, and I've stumbled upon this. My job is to first knock out Deku, then rescue this guy. Because from my perspective now, Deku views me as a villain. I view him as a villain. We have to fight as a hero and villain meeting. And then the winner gets to rescue this person.
Okay, so it's the first fight in any superhero crossover comic book where there's some contrived reason.
It's a constant crossover comic where it's like, no, you're rescuing on my turf. For whatever reason, I can't trust you.
We need to see what happens when Mjolnir goes down
it's that shield.
On Cap's shield.
And Hulk is holding it.
Yep. Oh, well, unfortunately, we will never get to see it because my prediction is that we're all going to hold up knives right now. Oh, shit. My prediction was wrong.
All right, way to go, Nostradamus.
Eggplants all around.
Knife wanted to stand up, but refused to pick it up.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes we've been holding up eggplants when really it's been kind of like, whatever.
Yeah.
It's still good. I'm still going to keep watching it. No, I felt like this one was pretty strong, and I am really interested to see what comes next. This is a strong thumbs up from me.
Yep. I've forgotten how much I actually loved this part of the arc. I won't lie to you, the first half of this season for My Hero is probably one of my favorites in the entire show, so obviously this is a step down from that, but there are still a lot of things going on here that I really enjoy. I'm glad to finally see a lot of my favorite parts of this specific arc happening now. Next episode's going to be really interesting. I'm really eager to see how you guys respond to the next test.
I'm really looking forward to it. Almost every episode this season has been like, I don't know what they're going to do next to really make this. Oh, good. They did it. Like, and it's just been a very consistent every time I've been like, I wonder how this is going to resolve in a way that I'll like it. It has. So I'm really looking forward to see what happens next. Super curious because, I mean, like metagaming it a bit, but I feel like I've had multiple people come up to me and be like, no, what's coming is some of my favorite stuff in the series. And I'm really interested to see what that turns out to be.
Hmm. Well, that means we should have killed it, right? Because things only get good after we kill it.
Absolutely. I know, all I know is in the opening, there's a very like held shot on Bakugo looking pensive, and I want to know what that's about. I gotta know what growth my boy Bakugo is gonna have.
Well, we'll find out next week. Thank you for tuning in, everybody. We will see you next time.